had a unique experience. Well, maybe not extremely unique, but I recently had an opportunity to travel home. And there's something really unique about that process of traveling to a place where you once called home. My family and I, we packed up the van. We went back to the state of Wisconsin, which I was born and raised in. I lived the majority of my life there, and I have a lot of very fond memories being in Wisconsin. And it had been quite a few years since we had been back, so it was really something I was looking forward to. Now, it took a couple days. We actually took a road trip instead of flying, and taking a road trip is a completely different experience. It really offers something that is much different than flying. Taking a couple days worth of time to travel over the land between the high desert and the lush green environment that is full of farm fields and forests that Wisconsin is was interesting. It would give us the opportunity to witness the gradual change of the land as we travel. What is neat about it, in my opinion, is that it helps you to see just the relationship of one place where you leave to the next place where you arrive. There's a big difference between the high desert and the mountains of Colorado as you compare it to the flat, green, lush farmland of Wisconsin. But traveling over the span of distance, you could see how the two come together. The change was gradual, right? And it was something that we were able to understand. Connecting one place with another, even though it is 1,000 miles away, is something that a road trip does. Now, ironically, as the distance between these two disparate land masses were, I could see them connected, as I mentioned, because of going on this road trip, but when I arrived to this place that I called home, it seemed so much different. It was hard to see some places that I remember as a child growing up, places that I was familiar with, which had changed, and changed into such a large degree that they were almost unrecognizable. That was very different than the experience of a gradual change. The reason I'm bringing this out is that a place that changes, even though you call it home, it suddenly becomes foreign and unfamiliar. And I found myself in that position. I was feeling as a foreigner in my land that I called home at one point in my life. I saw new construction. I saw demolished buildings, different storefronts. All of these things were unrecognizable. Now, over the span of time that I had been gone, these changes had occurred, and like I mentioned, I felt as a foreigner in my homeland, the place that I used to call home, that is. And all of this is made me reflect on what a homeland really is. This experience, going back home and seeing how things had changed, emphasized to me how temporary a state of physical existence really is. Going home didn't feel like going home. That was just the summarized version of what I'm describing here. And to a Christian, where is our home? Is it the place that we left today on our way to Sabbath services? Is that our home? Is that where we feel comfortable and familiar? Or are we foreigners in that residence where we live? Now, you too may have had an experience whether it's traveling from one place to another or seeing your former residence change over time, so that a place where you might consider it to be home feels foreign, feels different. That may disconnect you. I definitely felt disconnected from my home. It made me feel weird. Even coming back to my Colorado home, it felt a little weird. Even here, things had been changed. I won't go into what changed, but the yes, never mind that. The lawn grows, of course, but I'm talking about bigger changes than that. Feeling uncomfortable in your own home is unique. Feeling disconnected to a physical place is something that you may experience. I certainly experienced, and I've gone on a little bit too long talking about that, but it's something that others in the Bible have experienced too. What I'd like to do is open up to Hebrews 11 and read verses 13 through 16, where we can read about some who felt this way, disconnected from their physical existence, such that they did not consider it to be their home. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The faithful people mentioned here are strangers and pilgrims in the physical place where they reside. Where they reside here in Hebrews is not their home. They didn't think of it as their home. But they seek a homeland, a different place, a place where they feel that they do belong, a place that's comfortable, a place that is run according to the spiritual laws of God. Now that homeland described here in Hebrews 11 is not a place that exists here on earth right now. This homeland is the kingdom of God, which is yet to be established here on earth. Let's turn over to John 14, and I'd like to read verses 2 through 4. Jesus Christ is speaking in this passage here. He talks about a place for you and me. John 14, starting in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. The way you know. We have the Bible here that gives us instruction about God's way of life that leads us to that homeland. That is the place where we belong. That is the place that Jesus Christ is preparing for us right now. This is the place that is our homeland. That's the place we should be seeking. Jesus, too, had a perspective of not having a homeland here on earth right now. He had a job to do when he was alive here on earth. If you turn over to Luke 9, I'd like to read verses 57 through 62. Luke 9, starting in verse 57. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that some said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There are three different things that are mentioned here, but I'll bring out one primarily. Jesus Christ said that foxes have holes and birds have nests. Those are homes. But he himself said that he had no place to lay his head. In part, that means that he was doing something on this earth. He was doing a work, but he wasn't resting here. He was not going back and considering this place as a home, as a fox considers its hole a home, and a bird considers its nest a home. He had a work to do. And several of the other examples here where people wanted to follow him bring that out even more. No one having put his hand to the plow and begun that work and turning back to the world, is fit for the kingdom of God. We need to have that focus. A Christian must be clearly focused on the kingdom. The kingdom that is out in front of us. That is what we are supposed to be seeking. And I'd like to turn over to 1 John 2, and I'd like to read verses 15 and 16. First John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things of the world, the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This is one of my favorite scriptures because it emphasizes the trivial importance of the world around us. The world is passing away. It will not exist forever. It is temporary. The places where we will go after we leave these church services today, we might call home or our residence, but that's temporary. That's not our true homeland. It is out in front yet. It's a spiritual existence that we're seeking here, not a physical one. There's no flesh involved there. That is passing away. But the will of God, that will exist forever. That is permanent, and that is what we should be seeking. This should all sound familiar to you as I ask you to turn over to Matthew 6. I'd like to read verses 31 through 33, which really help to summarize the whole point. Matthew 6 and verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, those physical things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. I'll pause there for a moment. There's no doubt that we are living in carnal bodies. We are physical creatures. That is a fact. We have physical needs. We live in a physical world. But the intentions, our goals, should not have a physical end. They need to have and must have a spiritual end. And that culminates in verse 33 here in Matthew 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all and all these things shall be added to you. What we need to have in our minds as we choose to take whatever action we do, it must have its fulfillment in this kingdom of God. That is the homeland that we seek. The kingdom of God is our homeland. And that is what we are supposed to seek first. And that's what Jesus Christ had in mind when he was here. He was seeking the kingdom of God. He had a job to do while he was here, and we have a job to do while we are here. He was a foreigner. We too are foreigners in the place where we reside. Please turn over to 1 Peter 2, and I'd like to read verses 11 and 12 there. First Peter 2, verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." We are foreigners. We are sojourners in this world right now. And we wage war against the fleshly lusts that our carnal existence falls prey to. But brethren, wherever we may have lived in the past, wherever we live now, we may call that place home. But that's really not what it is by spiritual measures, and that's what that scripture is about. We are spiritual pilgrims, spiritual sojourners. And therefore, we are not home right now. We dwell here on this earth only for a while, and that is for a purpose. We need to build character and learn how to live lives that glorify God and cause others to glorify Him as well. We may all have a place that we live and lay our heads and rest every night, a place that we call home. But there is a permanent home that we all need to be journeying towards. And each moment that we live in accordance with God's way of life is a step that takes us on that path towards our homeland, the kingdom of God.